Good evening, and welcome to our Thursday night Transformation Bible Study. I greet you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you had a good day today. I bless that your Thursday was a blessed day, and either you're getting home or you're already home. But I'm just praying that everyone had a good day on today. So this evening, I just want to give everyone time to either log in on Facebook. We're going live tonight. We are going live. We are on Facebook, or you can go to our YouTube page, and you also can get the link to get on through StreamYard. So tonight, as we're getting ready to go into our Transformation Bible Study tonight, I just want to open up with this. This platform, God has given me this platform to be able to have Bible study, but really we want to talk about how God has given us the ability to transform to what he have us to be. And I start out with that because tonight I believe, or I know, that God has in our lives special calling, or should I say, we are created to be great in God. So I'm going to start with that. But before we get into our studies tonight, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer, because I think that, you know, you might have had a stressful day, or you might have had a busy day, and you might have had some things that went on throughout this day that was very heavy. So we want to open up in prayer first. So let us pray. Dear gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you right now, God, for you allowing us to make it through this day, allow no hurt, harm, or danger to fall upon us. Lord God, we might be tired in our bodies or in our minds, but we just thank you right now, God, for giving us the strength, the vitality, Lord God, to be able to go throughout our day. So God, I pray right now that you strengthen your people mentally, physically, and spiritually. And God, that something will be said on this study, in this episode, that will encourage your people, oh God, that will want to be closer to you and build a closer relationship with you through your word. And Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity. We do not take it lightly. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So tonight we're going to get directly into our studies tonight. And I want to be able to get into the word of God. And like I said, I try to use the word of God to be able to transform us into where God have us to be in this kingdom, or even, you know, even in this world or in our lives. The word of God will continue to transition us to where God have us to be. So we're going to get right into the word tonight. If you have your Bibles, or if you have your phones, and if not, I'm going to put the word up tonight, but we're going to be coming from Genesis chapter 1, verses 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and we're going to be dealing with this scripture tonight. And the scripture says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And I'm going to read that again. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." God created him. "God created male and female created he them." So first of all, we want to understand that God is making it clear here. And we know that that in this scripture, God is letting us know that he is the one that created man. He's the one that created male and female. And I want to be able tonight, and I got to be transparent tonight. This has been weighing on me for about a week or two. And I was waiting for the right time to bring this to the forefront and be able to talk about it and be able to address it. And so last night, as I was thinking about what to go over in Bible study, God gave me this scripture, and he made it clear to me last night or throughout this day and over the last couple of weeks, that God wants us to be sure. God wants us to know that we are created. And I want to, this is my theme tonight. We are created for greatness. God created us for greatness. And I'm going to let that set in for a while, because when we talk about greatness, we want to begin to understand, what does it mean to be great? Because I want you, we want to be able to understand that when God created us, and this scripture let us know, he created us in his own image. And that is a lot right there in that scripture. He created man in his own image. We are the mirror or the illustration of God in the humanity form. God created us in his image. And when he created us in greatness. And I keep saying that because I want you to understand that inside of you, inside of your DNA, from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, God created man and woman. That's what he said. I created them in my image. When I created them, I made them great. I made them that they are in a place, or they are a particular body of greatness, because God is great. But over the period of time, and I want us to understand this, over the period of time, we will begin to lose who we are in God. We begin to lose what we are in God. And when we begin to lose focus on who we are and what we are in God, we begin to belittle ourselves. And I want to be clear tonight. God is not a God of mediocrity. God is not a God that settles for average. He's not a God that he just wants us to get by in life. That we just should do the normal thing or the average thing just to get by in life. And I want to begin to talk about that, because as we move through life and as we begin to grow and develop, we got to understand that when God made us, he made us to be great. He made us in a way that everything we do, it should be done in excellence. We should not do nothing half-heartedly. We should not even, anything that we do, anything that we put our hands to, we should be able to do it, or should I say 100. So I want to talk about tonight, stepping up from good to great. Stepping up from good to great. I'm saying this because God, and don't get me wrong, good is not bad. But good is a place, and I want you to understand this tonight. Good is a place that we begin to see that we can do better. And good is a place for those that know that I should be expecting something better. There's nothing wrong with good, but I believe and I know that there are people, there are some of us out there that we are expecting greatness. And we're going to talk about what greatness is, because the world make you think greatness in a different light. The world wants you to think that greatness is about the house you live in, or the car you drive, or your bank account, or all of those, or your entourage that might be around you. And all those things, when the world talks about greatness, is focusing on you and the things you have. That's not what God means when he talks about greatness. And we want to talk about that tonight, because when we think about greatness, what do we really, what does it mean in our mind, in our intellect? When we think about greatness, what do we think about? And when we think about good, what do we think about? And we got to understand that good is a platform that we use to move up toward greatness. God has put inside of us from the foundation of the world, from the beginning of us in our humanity, there's something in us that thrives, something in us that pushes us to be the best that we can. And I want you to understand that tonight. There's something inside of us that pushes us to want to be the best we can in whatever we do. But throughout life, throughout the things that happen to us in our lives, the things that we encounter, the things that comes upon us, then we begin to think it's okay to settle for mediocrity. It's okay to settle for the average. Because for so long, some of us have been in a place of mediocrity. Some of us have been in a place that I'm just going to get by and I'm just going to be satisfied with that. I'm just going to be content where I'm at. But deep down in our heart, deep down in us, we know there's something in us that's thriving, something in us that's pushing us to step up higher. There's something in us that's elevating us. When I say elevate us, I don't mean over nobody else. Greatness is not about you trying to elevate yourself over somebody else. I want to be clear. We're going to talk about that. It's not about you trying to make yourself bigger than somebody else, or trying to make yourself that you're more greater than somebody else. But you got to realize there's something in you that God has placed inside of all of us that desires for us to be the best we can be in whatever we do. There's something in us that God has placed from Adam that it makes us wants to push, or makes us wants to do better than just getting by. But life will put you in a place, and this is what I want to get into. Life will put you in a place because of so many things that happen will make you think that it's okay. Everything is okay being average. Everything is okay being good. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with being good, but we want to look at the difference between good and great. When we talk about good, and I wrote some notes down here, when we talk about good, we talk about mediocrity. We're talking about just accepting things as though they are. When we talk about good, we talk about the main thing that we don't want to begin to look at ourselves. We don't want to begin to judge ourselves and realize that we can do better. We don't want to begin to look in the mirror and realize that when we look at ourselves, we begin to say that we can do better. We can deal with this a whole lot better. If I was just to put forth a little more effort or take a little bit more time, I can do this in a better way. Or should I say, I can begin to operate in a place of excellence. Excellence brings about greatness. I say that again. Excellence brings about greatness. And when we think about excellence, and I want you to begin to think about that word, when we think about excellence, excellence is about not being the best, but doing your best. I say that again. Excellence is not about being the best. It's about doing the best you can. Giving 100. Whatever you do, I don't care if you sweeping the floor. You should do that in the spirit of excellence. You should try to do the best you can in sweeping the floor. I don't care If you saying, well, I got to wash the car, or I got to go and buy groceries, or I just have a job that I'm a receptionist, or I might just have a job that I'm parking the car, or I might just have a job that is just, you know, I'm just talking to someone on the phone. But whatever we do, whatever job we doing, whatever we have our hands to do, we should have a mindset that we're going to do it in the spirit of excellence. Because sometimes God puts us in a place to see how we're going to handle that position, or handle that job we in, or even in a situation in a home, or, you know, even the things that he give us. Do we deal with it in the spirit of excellence? And I want to be clear about this. I'm not just talking about, you know, in the church. I'm talking about in your life. How you dress, how you communicate. All these things should be done in the spirit of excellence. And excellence means above average. It means exceptional. It means that I'm going a little extra to make sure things are done right. I'm going a little bit farther than just making sure it's done. I want to make sure it's done right. And I want to make sure it's done at the best of my ability. When you're doing something at the best of your ability, I don't care what nobody else might say. I don't care what nobody else might, how they might comment. If you know that you have given 100% of what you're doing, you are doing it at your very best. You are operating in the spirit of excellence. And when you operate in the spirit of excellence, you begin to step up from just being good or average to begin to walk into a place, or step into a place of greatness. But we have to understand that excellence produces greatness. If we in a place in our mind that we all say we're just going to do what we got to do to get by. And, you know, I want to take my time with this, but, you know, it bothers me. And I don't know if it bothers anybody, but it bothers me when I know that somebody can do better, but they won't do better. When you see they're doing a certain task, or you see that they're operating in a certain position or function, and you know they can do better, but they just say, I'm just going to do what I got to do to get by. I got to admit, I know that some people, they don't want to thrive for greatness. They don't want to be great. They just want to be okay with their lives. And that's fine. But I know that deep down inside of us, even if you're satisfied with that, I know there's some part of you that wants to do great. I'm gonna justify that. When a person is just getting by and doing what they can, I don't mean they're giving 100%. I don't mean they're doing the best of their ability. But when they're just doing what they want to do to get by, when somebody come about and do something a little extra or do something a little better, this is where envy comes in at. This is where jealousy comes in at. Because why? You know that deep down inside of you, you want to be able to do that, or not do that particular thing, but you want to be able to operate in the spirit of excellence, but you don't have the unction. What I'm saying, the fortitude, or a little bit of oomph to be able to push yourself into a place of greatness. In other words, begin to operate in the place of excellence. I believe that we are living in a time and era that God is mandating. God is requiring us. When I'm saying us, I'm speaking of people that have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, because that's where greatness starts at. When you begin to accept Jesus in your life, you're saying right then that I'm no longer accepting the average. I'm no longer accepting things to be just as they are. Because the person that died for us, Jesus died for us. When he died for us, that we will be able to have a life of abundance, a life of greatness. He didn't die for us and give us of our sins for us to live good. He said in his word, God says, I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Abundantly means more than the beyond. And the enemy wants us to be satisfied with just being good. And what I'm saying that I understand that over life and I understand that over time, sometimes things will make you feel like I'm just going to be satisfied. I'm just going to be okay with this. And deep down, we know there's something in us that wants to do more. The deep down in us, we know there's something in us that is striving for greatness. And like I said, when we talk about greatness, it's excellence. And excellence is about discipline and tenacity. Excellence is about discipline and tenacity. You got to have the discipline to be able to go up the steps. You got to have the discipline able to move upward. You can't get halfway when things get bad. You're saying, well, that's it. Tenacity means that I'm still going to press my way. I'm going to press toward the mark for the high calling. I'm moving upward. The tenacity means that there's nothing going to stop me from greatness. There's nothing that's going to hinder me from being all that God has required me to be. Because I know that if I'm created in the image of God, I know that I am created in greatness because God is great. And if we're created in his image, we are great. And greatness is not about what you have. Greatness is not about who you're around or the things that you have in your possession. It's about realizing who you are in God. And as you build this relationship with God, as you continue to walk with God, you begin to see how great you really are, not in yourself, but in God. That's why the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ, not in myself, not in my flesh, but in God, I'm able to do all things. There's nothing I can't do. That lets me know that I am great. What I mean by great, that I can do the best I can in God. And I want you to understand this tonight, that greatness ain't about being perfect. See, that's what stops a lot of us from being great. Or that what stops a lot of us from stepping up toward being great. We think that we have to be perfect to obtain greatness. We think that we have to be in a place that we have no flaws. We don't make mistakes. That we basically are in a place that we might fall short in things. You start doing something, and it might not happen the way you want it, so you just say, that's it. But I want you to understand that it's through our mistakes. It's through our weaknesses. It's through our flaws. It's through our imperfection where greatness begins to be developed. Greatness comes about in our weaknesses. Greatness comes about in our imperfection. Some of us, and I have to admit this, and I even had to learn this myself, is that the world will tell you and society will teach you to be in your strength is what you work on, and you perfect your strength. God wants us to begin to focus on our weaknesses. Were we weak, then we are strong. Where we fall short at, our imperfections, our mistakes, this is what we work on to become great. But see, the enemy got a way that when we do things and we make mistakes, or we fall short of the glory of God, or, you know, we might not do everything we're supposed to do according to God's word, or We might not do everything according that is right. And the enemy began to play in our mind saying, see, I told you you couldn't do it, or there's nothing great about you. You're just being average Joe. But God takes our weaknesses. God takes our flaws. God takes our imperfection. This is who God deals with. I made a note here saying that God uses imperfect people to demonstrate his greatness. God takes imperfect people to demonstrate his greatness. But when we think that we got it all together, when we think that, you know, we are so great and we are so holy and die in ourselves, in our flesh, in our own mindset without God, this is where we begin to fall back down the ladder, or this is when we begin to realize that we're not as great as we thought we were, because it's not about us, but it's about the God inside of us that makes us great. Because we realize that it's in him that we move, we breathe, and have our being. It's him that wakes us up every morning. It's him that takes us to our job and takes us on the highway every day. It's him that gives us even the mind to be able to do our jobs or whatever we do. So if he gives us the mind to do it, we should do it at the best of our ability. Because everybody can't do what you do. Ooh, I'm trying to stay calm with this tonight. But everybody cannot do what you do. If God has given you the skill, the aptitude, the ability to do what you do, then you should do it in the glory of God. You should do it and say, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to do it like God is right here watching me. I don't care what it is. You do it to the best of your ability. And when we realize that it's in our weaknesses, and I wrote this down, in our weaknesses, this is where growth, this is where wholeness, this is where maturity and completeness is developed. In our weaknesses, not in our strengths, but in our weaknesses, this is where we begin to grow. This is where we begin to step up. This is when we begin to be mature in God. This is where we begin to be whole and complete. You know, I used this on myself. I did a couple of powerlifting meets, and my weakness, and I'm going to tell you, I got to be, this is the testimony. My first meet, my weakness, and I tell you this, in my powerlifting is squats. For some reason, I could not get down low enough to do the right technique for squats. And I remember my first meet, my son was with me, my daughter and my wife. And the first event was squats. And no matter how much I tried, I kept getting those three red lights saying that I didn't either do it properly or the lift you did was not correct. And all three times, and let me tell you, even the third time, I'm going to just tell you, the third time I looked up toward heaven, I said, God, give me the strength to do it. And I looked up toward heaven, I squat down and I came back up and I thought I got at least 2 white lights out of that lift. And I looked over there and all three lights was red. Let me tell you something. I was so discouraged. I felt so bad. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to finish my events. I didn't want to do the other 2 events. I didn't want to do the bench press. I didn't want to do the deadlift. I done told him, I said, I'm done. But let me tell you something. My son, I'll never forget, my son came to me and he said, Dad, don't give up. He said, Dad, he said, you still got 2 more events. Don't give up. Do the other 2 events. And these other 2 events, you know, I was good at. But I want you to know that after that event, we had that powerlifting meet, I went back, began to work on my squats. I began to realize that I need to open up my hips. I had to realize that I had to work on certain techniques. I had to do certain stretches. I had to do certain types of resistance bands training. All of that I had to do to make sure that I can get down low enough to do a complete squat. Why am I telling you this? Because it's in my weakness where I begin to develop my growth. It's in my weakness where I begin to develop my complete, powerlifting meet. I was able to do all three episodes, or all three events, not just in my strength in the bench and in deadlift, but also in squats. Why am I saying that? Whatever your weakness is, and I'm trying to make it clear tonight, the enemy is always going to bring your weakness before you. He's always going to bring your weakness in front of you. You deal with that weakness, and you not in yourself, but in God. Because the Bible says, when I am weak, he is strong. So when you begin to realize, Lord, I need your help in this, I'm not trying to put it aside. I'm not trying not to deal with it. God, I'm right here, it's in front of me, and I need you to help me with that. I need you to help me with my weakness. And I want to bring that out tonight, because God used imperfect people, people that have weaknesses, and made them great. God took people that was imperfection in how the world see them, and in there, when you look at them, but God made them great. Can I go down a couple of them? The first one I began to look at was Moses. Moses was known for his anger. Moses was known for his stutter. He couldn't talk. Even when God said he wanted to use him, he told God that, you know, I stutter. So you want me to get before people and proclaim that you told me to tell Pharaoh to let your people go, and I can't talk because I stutter. Why am I saying that? Because some of us, we think that because we don't have the right enunciations, or we don't have the right way, we're not a great orator. So we feel like we shouldn't be speaking in public, or we shouldn't be able to, you know, have a voice because we don't speak or articulate our words the way we should. I want you to know tonight that God can take that imperfection and make you great. Can I go on? Peter was known for his fear. Peter had all tried to be all big, bad, and bold till the end came. And when they began to ask him, was he one of Jesus' disciples? Fear set in. And when they began to press him about, we know that you are one of Jesus' disciples, he began to say, I'm not, I don't care what you say. And he said, I can even change my language. And he began to curse and say, I don't know who Jesus is. And he began to say, I don't know who that man is. God can take your language and begin to transition you or transform you as one of his greatest epistles or one of his greatest witnesses. We know that Peter was one of God's greatest disciples. He was one that they wanted to hang him just like Jesus, but he said, I'm not fit to be hung on the cross, rise out of like the Lord. I'm not fit to be hung up on the cross like Jesus. So he says, hang me upside down. In this perfection, Peter was made great. Can I move a little further? Noah was known as a drunkard. Noah was a drunkard. I don't care how you put it, but Noah was a drunkard. When after the flood, the Bible says that Noah went out, had some wine, made some wine and got drunk, got so drunk that he was naked, and his son saw him naked. Noah was a drunkard. But God used him. God used him to save humanity. God used him to save humanity. I got to move on. My time is going on. But David, we know David's weakness. David's weakness was all about the women, y'all. Y'all know David. David was an adulterer. He looked upon Bathsheba, had her husband killed. He had a thing for the women. But yet, even in his perfection, what did David do? David says, I have sinned. I have transgressed before God. Forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. renew the right spirit within me. What am I telling you? That all you got to do is go to God. If you know that you have a weakness or you know that you are battling with something, you take it to God. And you say, Lord, you know me better than I know myself because I'm created in your image. I'm created in the greatness of you. That flaw that I have, that thorn in my flesh, I need for you to buffet it. I need for you to be able for me to overcome that. I got to move on. Abraham was a liar. Abraham lied, I think, 2 times when they asked him that Sarah was his wife. He said, no, that's my sister. Abraham says, no. I don't know if he lied because he was afraid. I don't know if he lied because he didn't want them to know that that was his wife. But he lied and said, no, Sarah is not my wife. That's my sister. And not just man in perfection. Mary Magdalene was demon possessed. And yet God used her. She was the first one to the tomb when Jesus rose from the grave. She was the first one that was there when Jesus came from the grave. She was demon possessed, but yet God used, oh Lord, I don't want to preach this evening, but God used somebody that was possessed by the devil. God used someone that even got the enemy had control of them. God was able to take them in their perfection and make them great. Rahab was a prostitute, but yet she was used to save her whole family. She was used that when the 12 came out to spy, she put them in a place and hid them so that the people from the country would not be able to spot them or would not be able to see them. And they told her, when they come back, hang a red scarlet outside your door, outside your window. And when we come back, destroy the city, we will not touch your family. So her family was saved because of her. What am I telling you? You don't know how God's going to use you in your greatness. You don't know what God's got in store for you in your greatness. But you'll never begin to know if you don't step up, begin to move up, and let God show you how great you are in Him. It's not about being great in yourself, but it's about being great that God get the glory in your life. It could be at your job, it could be in your home, it could be in your community, it could be in your city. God can use you in a great way if you first begin to realize that I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to satisfy just being good, because I know there's something in me that God has placed in me for me to be great. Step up. That's what God was, when I put this together, God was telling me, it's time for His people to step up and realize who you are in God. You are great. You are great because your Maker is great, and you are made in His image. You are the mirror. You are the reflection of God. You are great. So tonight, I don't know where you at in God. I don't know what your relationship is with God, but I want you to know tonight that God is asking you. God is demanding for you to step up in your life. He's demanding you to come up a little higher. Move up to greatness in God, not in yourself, but in God. So I want to pray with you tonight as I close. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we know that we are made in your image. We know that we are created in the likeness of you. And throughout the course of life, throughout the throughout the pressure of the world and the things that goes on in our life, sometimes we find ourselves coming short of what you have us to be. But God, your word let us know that we must be first transformed by the renewing of our minds. So God, tonight I pray that you touch your people's mind and let them see how great they are in you. Let them see, God, that you have greatness in store for them. That they are great and they represent you in what they do. Lord God, I pray right now that even the relationship between you and your people become closer. We want to please you. We want to do your will. And for us to do that, God, we got to walk in greatness. So help us to step up in our minds and begin to walk in greatness. We thank you tonight. We bless you tonight. And we give you all the praise. In your son Jesus' name, amen. I pray tonight that something was said to let you know that you are great in God. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different. Don't let nobody let you know that you have to settle for mediocrity. But you let people know that I'm great because my God is great. And therefore, I'm great. So be blessed. And continue to step up in greatness in Jesus' name.